In a world where we're constantly juggling responsibilities, Laura Vanderkam's Tranquility by Tuesday offers a revolutionary approach to time management that has captured attention far beyond traditional productivity circles. The book has garnered praise from celebrities like Gretchen Rubin and Daniel Pink, while becoming a staple recommendation among mental health professionals. What makes this work stand out in the crowded self-help landscape is Vanderkam's research-backed approach. She conducted a formal study with 150 participants who implemented her strategies over 10 weeks, resulting in a 17% increase in time satisfaction. Unlike typical time management advice that focuses on squeezing more into each day, Vanderkam's philosophy centers on finding peace amid chaos by structuring your time intentionally. As she puts it, tranquility isn't about silent meditation in mountain retreats. It's about waking up and looking forward to what's ahead because you have a plan in place, no matter what dilemmas occur. Could the solution to feeling perpetually overwhelmed be as simple as following 9 practical rules? Going to bed earlier is how grown-ups sleep in. This counterintuitive wisdom forms the foundation of Vanderkam's first rule: give yourself a bedtime. Despite tracking thousands of time logs showing most adults average 7 to 8 hours of sleep daily, many still feel chronically tired because of disorderly sleep, undershooting, then overshooting, in ways that wreak havoc on our functioning. Implementing a bedtime involves 4 straightforward steps. First, honestly determine your typical wake-up time based on your actual life, not fantasy goals. Second, calculate your sleep needs. Most adults need 7 to 8 hours. Third, do the math to find your ideal bedtime by counting backward from wake-up time. Finally, set an alarm 15-30 minutes before this bedtime to begin winding down. Many of us resist bedtimes to preserve precious me time after responsibilities end, creating a false trade-off. We tell ourselves that skimping on sleep buys more time for leisure or productivity, but this logic fails spectacularly. When we're sleep-deprived, tasks take longer, errors multiply, and our bodies eventually force us to make up skipped sleep elsewhere, often at inconvenient times. The psychological barriers to bedtimes run deep. Some struggle with unpredictable children or late-night work obligations. Many fall into the counterproductive cycle of staying up late to prepare for the next morning, guaranteeing they'll face that day exhausted. Perhaps most poignantly, setting a bedtime means deciding the day is over, surrendering those quiet evening hours when the house is finally peaceful. To minimize bedtime resentment, make space for leisure at other points in your schedule, so late-night puttering feels less necessary. Remember that you're still in charge. A bedtime isn't legally binding, but simply nudges a conscious decision. Having a consistent bedtime window helps structure your evenings, making them more purposeful rather than endless. Those who maintained a bedtime reported remarkable benefits. 25% more participants agreed they got enough sleep by the program's end, with energy levels for handling responsibilities increasing by 13%. One participant called the bedtime rule the least sexy but most useful of all rules. Benefits extended beyond mere rest. People reported choosing evening activities more mindfully and even discovering more quality couple time by going to bed together rather than staying up working separately. Going to bed on time represents a fundamental act of discipline, choosing to be kind to future you by making decisions that benefit you later. This simple practice builds the foundation for all other time management rules. The payoff is immediate. Participants reported having the best day of the week when they slept well and woke refreshed, with enough energy to accomplish everything planned, making them genuinely happier. Like an ever-rolling stream, time moves constantly forward, whether we're conscious of it or not. When life becomes turbulent, we react to emergencies rather than thinking strategically. Rule 2 offers a solution. Take 20 minutes each Friday to plan the upcoming week. The Friday planning process is straightforward yet powerful. Spend 20 minutes creating a 3-category priority list for the upcoming week: career, relationships, and self. List a few key items in each category that would make the week feel wonderful, like meeting an important client, calling a friend in need, or trying a new running trail. Schedule these priorities, then assess necessary tasks and existing commitments. strategize ways to minimize, delegate, or eliminate low-value activities. Finally, plan the following weekend and update plans for the immediate weekend. Friday afternoon planning offers four key advantages over other times. 1, little opportunity cost, since it's hard to start new work then anyway. 2, it makes Monday mornings immediately productive by allowing you to dive into important work rather than planning. 3, it helps upgrade your weekends by considering upcoming leisure activities. And 4, it calms the Sunday scaries by giving you clarity about the week ahead before entering the weekend. While many busy professionals already check their calendars regularly, the transformative shift comes from moving beyond simply tracking appointments to actively planning for what's important across all life domains, work, relationships, and personal fulfillment. This broader approach helps people feel a sense of progress and accomplishment even during leisure time. The most significant concern about planning is feeling so overwhelmed that it seems pointless or even demoralizing. However, when life feels chaotic, planning functions as a life preserver. Defined expectations are less frightening than undefined ones, giving you something to hold on to amid turbulence. Planning creates both professional productivity and personal joy. Participants found themselves making time for fun activities like park playdates and happy hours alongside their work responsibilities. Of course, challenges arose. Some forgot to review their plans throughout the week. Others struggled with time estimation. Planning improves with practice as you learn what requires tight scheduling versus what can remain flexible. The benefits compound over time as important but not urgent tasks get addressed before becoming crises, creating more space in future weeks and fewer emergencies overall. Even during disruptions like COVID-19 lockdowns, good planning helped participants maintain focus on true priorities. A 20-minute Friday session won't solve everything, but it creates remarkable calm and happiness by helping you make time for what truly matters. Our sedentary modern lifestyle creates a paradoxical problem. While we've eliminated much physical labor, our productivity suffers from lack of movement. Research shows exercise rivals pharmaceuticals for treating conditions like depression, insomnia, and pain sensitivity. Most importantly, physical activity serves as a natural energy booster. One study found a 5-minute burst of activity raised energy levels from 3 to 9 on a 10-point scale, with benefits lasting over an hour. Moving by 3 p.m. daily creates multiple benefits. It ensures you take at least one genuine break during your day, instead of fake breaks like mindless social media scrolling, and it strategically addresses the typical afternoon energy slump. More importantly, this habit cultivates a strategic mindset about your time. By identifying spaces for even 10 minutes of movement, you're practicing autonomy over your schedule and challenging the narrative of being overwhelmed. Though most study participants already exercised regularly, they embraced finding additional movement opportunities throughout their days. Their creative implementations included walking after meetings to clear their heads, moving during audio-only work calls, walking dogs during workday breaks instead of just letting them out, scheduling walking dates with teens, and intensifying ordinary activities like playing with children outdoors. Participants identified several barriers: inflexible work schedules with strict break policies, perceived busyness that made 10 minutes feel too precious to waste, fear of colleague judgment for taking breaks, and general lack of motivation. Many struggled with the feeling that taking even brief movement breaks was self-indulgent when work demands felt pressing. With a problem-solving mindset and focus on enjoyment, participants experienced significant benefits. Study data showed steady increases in energy levels, with initial agreement scores for having enough energy to handle responsibilities rising from 4.95 to 5.31 after implementing the daily movement rule, and settling at 5.49 1 month after the project ended, a statistically significant improvement. About 20% of participants moved from disagreeing to agreeing they had enough energy for their busy lives over just 9 weeks. The reliability of exercise as a mood booster proved magical. 10 minutes of physical activity consistently improved happiness and alertness at no cost, often becoming the highlight of people's days. As participants continued with the rule, they developed an "I am in charge of my time" mindset, asking when instead of if about daily movement. As Vanderkam notes, exercise doesn't take time, it makes time. The minutes invested in movement return dividends in enhanced productivity and effectiveness throughout your day. Three times a week is a habit offers a liberating mindset shift. You don't need to do something daily to make it count in your life. When people feel discouraged about not exercising, reading, or pursuing hobbies enough, they're often trapped in a 24-hour mindset, where missing a day feels like failure. Instead, aiming for three times weekly is both achievable and sufficient to establish a meaningful habit. We often get discouraged when we can only do meaningful activities once or twice weekly, feeling like failures because we didn't do them daily. This 24-hour trap creates a scarcity mindset. By shifting to a weekly perspective, recognizing we have 168 hours to work with, we discover abundance. Even with full-time work, 40 hours, and sleep, 56 hours, we still have 72 hours for other priorities. When asked to identify activities they wanted to do more frequently, study participants chose diverse pursuits, reading professional or spiritual texts, writing, arts and crafts, formal workouts, quality time with partners or children, cooking family meals, language practice, playing instruments, and home projects. Most participants had done their chosen activity at least once in the past week, but wanted more consistency. Participants identified numerous challenges to maintaining their three times weekly habits: work crises, accessibility of materials, family demands, and simple forgetfulness were common practical obstacles. More intriguing were deeper issues like avoidance, using perfectionism as an excuse to never start, and guilt, feeling undeserving of time for personal pursuits. After implementing the rule, 62% of participants reported spending more time on their chosen activities, with a median increase of 60 minutes per week. This small but significant change shifted people's time narratives, helping them recognize their agency over their schedules. Many found they actually did their activities more frequently when the pressure of daily performance was removed. The key insight is that success doesn't require waiting for a less hectic future. It's possible now, even within complex lives. One 40-something mother of a 4-year-old discovered that doing something three times weekly was enough to maintain it as part of her identity, despite the profound shift parenthood had brought to her time management. This perspective shift, recognizing that three times a week is a habit, is sufficient to be the kind of person who does that activity, proved life-changing for many participants who had been carrying faulty narratives about what consistency requires. Creating a backup slot is essential for maintaining tranquility when life inevitably disrupts our plans. Elizabeth Morfis, a professor seeking tenure, needed dedicated time for research and writing amid family responsibilities and teaching duties. The solution was scheduling 2 longer sessions weekly plus a designated backup slot on Sunday. This resilient approach proved invaluable when emergency struck, like her husband's hospitalization, yet she still met her article submission deadline by using her backup slots. Creating a resilient schedule starts with identifying what matters most to you, those important activities that tend to get bumped when life gets complicated. Each priority needs its own specific backup slot, just like an outdoor event needs a rain date. Since managing multiple backup slots can become unwieldy, a practical approach is to regularly leave open space in your schedule that can accommodate whatever priority needs rescheduling. When you schedule 4 gym sessions, making it to 3 feels like success rather than failure. Building in open space increases your chances of completing your to-do list, creating immediate tranquility. The deeper goal is protecting yourself against the common excuse that something came up. Life never goes perfectly. There will always be traffic, sick children, or work emergencies. But these supposedly unexpected disruptions are actually entirely foreseeable. The main obstacle to implementing this rule was psychological, a horror vacui or fear of leaving empty space. With constant pressure to be productive, deliberately keeping slots open felt unrealistic or indulgent. Social pressure made it difficult to decline meeting requests when you technically had nothing else going on. But this empty space isn't an indulgence. It serves the crucial purpose of accommodating the known unknowns that inevitably arise each week. Despite initial wariness, most participants successfully scheduled backup slots or added more open space to their weeks. The results were transformative: reduced time anxiety, less frantic feelings about to-do lists, and the ability to handle unexpected events without stress. One person welcomed an impromptu visit from their brother without worrying about schedule changes. Others were surprised to discover how close to the edge they'd been operating. One participant noted feeling too relaxed and realized they'd grown so accustomed to constant stress that anything else felt abnormal. Beyond creating backup slots in your schedule, develop the habit of making backup plans for your goals and activities. The COVID-19 pandemic taught us this skill. When in-person gatherings became impossible, virtual options emerged as viable alternatives. Apply this thinking to everyday situation by always considering your next best choice. Certain days stand out in memory more than others. This happens because intensity creates deep memories, and our perception of time passing is shaped by how many memories we form. When memory making accelerates, time feels longer, explaining why exotic vacations seem to stretch time and why youth feels more expansive than routine-filled middle age. The good news? We don't need extraordinary experiences to expand our sense of time. We simply need novelty in day-to-day life. That's the essence of Tranquility by Tuesday Rule 6. One big adventure, one little adventure. Each week, plan one larger adventure, requiring a few hours, and one smaller one, just an hour or so. These don't require exotic travel, just something out of the ordinary that you genuinely want to do. When introducing this rule to participants, most struggled with what adventures to plan. The solution is simple: make lists. Carve out time to brainstorm potential adventures, check online calendars for local events, and create ongoing lists in your planner. Even with COVID restrictions, participants found ways to adapt, recognizing that adventure is more a state of mind than an objective standard. The key insight: plans transform vague desires into reality. Many noted these weren't extraordinary activities they wouldn't have theoretically done otherwise, but planning made them definite rather than hypothetical. Participants enjoyed not just the adventures themselves, but the complete three-part emotional experience: anticipation, the event itself, and reflection afterward. Planning adventures presents challenges. When life feels chaotic, big adventures seem daunting. Finding time amid busy work weeks feels impossible, though it's helpful to remember work expands to fill available space. The most poignant challenge is overcoming our own inertia. As one participant noted, it's easier to not do things than to do them. When facing the temptation to abandon planned adventures for comfort, remember we experience life through three selves: the anticipating self, who plans the adventure; the experiencing self, who must execute it; and the remembering self, who cherishes the memory afterward. Though the experiencing self bears the burden of effort, it shouldn't have veto power. The solution? Picture yourself on the other side. Participants who followed through on their adventures reported significant benefits. "We definitely made memories," one wrote, while another noted, "Life feels more expansive, and I feel more connected with my family." In final evaluations, one big adventure, one little adventure ranked among the most beneficial rules, even while being considered one of the most difficult to implement. Adventures changed participants' perception of time itself. Time seemed to slow down a bit as I savored the fun, and even shifted their self-perception. We were the kind of people who do fun stuff. Hannah Bogensberger, a software engineer and mother of three young children, transformed her busy life by committing to a simple weekly ritual: Tuesday night tennis with her sisters. This 90-minute activity, just a small fraction of her 168-hour week, provides a substantial happiness payoff. She returns home glowing. The physical activity, social connection, and mental break from daily responsibilities creating a profound effect on her well-being. Vanderkam developed this rule from personal experience, having seen how joining community choirs transformed her own well-being. After moving to New York City in 2002, she initially joined three singing groups to get herself out of her work-from-home routine. Even after marriage and children, she maintained her Tuesday night commitment with the Young New Yorkers Chorus, even performing 2 weeks after having her first baby and continuing after her second child. With small children and a husband who worked long hours, she desperately needed this time away. Many participants initially suggested home-based activities, like yoga videos, bubble baths, or watching shows without feeling guilty about not doing chores. While these are pleasant ways to spend time, Vanderkamp pushes back against the idea that your fun must be flexible. The problem with flexible fun is that it becomes contingent on others not wanting you for something else. Things that can happen whenever tend to happen whenever. With a fixed commitment like a Thursday night rehearsal, everyone builds it into their expectations. Once you've committed to taking one night for yourself, several strategies can help you maintain this commitment despite having young children or an intense work schedule. First, in two-parent families, arrange to cover for each other. An explicit quid pro quo where each parent gets their own night works best. Second, consider hiring help if your partner has an unpredictable schedule. Third, find predictability within seemingly unpredictable schedules. Even shift workers can identify patterns weeks in advance. Beyond practical obstacles, some participants resisted adding another thing to their lives. While it's fashionable to talk about being overcommitted and saying no more often, Vanderkam believes people feel overcommitted because their calendars are packed with activities they don't actually want to do. This rule is about finding commitments that genuinely excite you, ones that make you feel glowing. Taking one night for yourself can transform your experience of time. The anticipation of this personal time lifted people's moods and created a sense of expansiveness that carried through the week. Making fun into a commitment allows for a sense of progress. Experiencing the joy of mastering a difficult piece of music, completing paintings in an art class, or winning a championship with your softball team. Though this rule was rated the most difficult to implement in the study, its benefits accrued over time. By the one-month follow-up, 12% more participants reported regularly having time for themselves compared to before the project. As we devote regular time to things we love, we discover that time is elastic, stretching to accommodate what we truly wish to put into it. Rule 8, batch the little things, addresses how administrative and maintenance tasks can consume our mental energy while not actually taking much time. The solution is designating specific time blocks to handle small tasks that must be done but aren't top priorities. This approach has two major benefits. It forces prioritization. Tasks expand to fill available time, so limiting time makes us more efficient, and prevents little tasks from constantly interrupting more important work or leisure time. To implement batching effectively, start by identifying what constitutes small tasks in your life: signing forms, mailing packages, making appointments, responding to invitations. Next, determine how much time these actually require. Most people need 1 to 4 hours weekly. These tasks often feel bigger than they are because they constantly weigh on our minds. A crucial step is writing things down rather than keeping a running list in your head, which creates mental burden. Use a planner, calendar, or dedicated container to collect tasks until your batch processing time. We're conditioned to feel productive by constantly completing small tasks and crossing items off lists. Many productivity experts promote the 2-minute rule, doing tasks immediately if they take less than 2 minutes. But this approach has serious flaws. Small tasks often become task hydras, expanding beyond their estimated time, rabbit holes leading to distractions like checking email, or procrastination sirens, providing easy wins that prevent tackling harder, more important work. Instead of the flawed 2-minute rule, consider the 3-hour rule. Dedicate the first 3 hours of your day to focused work with all notifications off and distractions eliminated. After lunch, handle calls, meetings, and administrative tasks. This approach ensures progress on major projects while still completing necessary small tasks. We often become addicted to busyness, using small tasks as an excuse to avoid deeper work or meaningful activities. Batching small tasks forces us to confront an uncomfortable truth. We do have time for what matters, but we're choosing not to use it that way. This requires changing our narrative and possibly our identity from being a put-upon martyr to someone who could be making progress on important goals but isn't. When Tranquility by Tuesday participants implemented batching, most chose afternoon blocks for small tasks when energy naturally dips. This approach yielded significant benefits: improved focus during prime working hours, more progress on priorities, and reduced mental drain from constant task switching. One participant who initially doubted the method realized that always looking for a chance to tackle a small task means I am always thinking about those little tasks. The practice changed not just how people use their time, but how they felt about it, creating mental space, reducing resentment of chores, and allowing time to feel lighter without the constant pressure of pending tasks. Even the busiest people have some leisure time, but we often default to effortless activities like social media and television that require minimal planning or energy. The average American with a full-time job watches over 2 hours of TV daily, while social media consumes another 90-plus minutes. These effortless activities crowd out more satisfying, effortful leisure pursuits. The solution is simple. Do just a few minutes of effortful fun before turning to effortless entertainment. When tracking their screen time, participants averaged about 49 minutes of social media on weekdays, 58 minutes on weekends, and 44 minutes of television on weekdays, 79 minutes on weekends, likely underestimates. This accounting prompted soul-searching, with one participant realizing they unlocked their phone over 90 times daily. When asked what effortful leisure they'd prefer, reading topped the list, followed by puzzles, crafting, games, and actively connecting with loved ones. The biggest challenge to choosing effortful fun isn't availability. You can easily load e-reader apps on your phone, but energy. Participants reported that fatigue kills a lot of effortful fun, and my brain is pretty much mush from work. After a long day, the siren song of the sofa becomes nearly irresistible. Even with good intentions, many found that if I touch the dang phone, my plans go out the window. Not surprising, when thousands of brilliant minds have engineered these platforms specifically to capture and hold our attention. To resist the allure of effortless entertainment, participants found several effective strategies. Like Odysseus, lashing himself to the mast to resist the sirens, they needed to create systems that tilted the odds toward more satisfying leisure. The first approach was to picture themselves on the other side, imagining the satisfaction they'd feel after finishing a good book or completing another form of effortful fun. Second, they made effortful fun as alluring as possible by ensuring they had compelling books or projects readily available. Finally, setting a timer, even for just a few minutes, helped overcome initial resistance, as the intrinsic pleasure of the activity would often take over once begun. The Tranquility by Tuesday participants enthusiastically embraced the effortful before effortless rule. The results were remarkable. Happiness with leisure time increased by 20%, while feelings of not wasting time on unimportant activities rose by 32%. These improvements persisted for months after the study. Participants described their experience in profound terms. Time seemed to expand, it was magic, and restored my soul. For those who questioned whether leisure needed to be effortful, Vanderkam clarified that even consciously choosing to do nothing, like daydreaming or simply observing the world, counts as effortful in our distraction-filled digital environment. The core principle isn't about constant productivity, but about intentionally choosing how to spend leisure time, rather than defaulting to mindless scrolling. Life often feels like a circus performance, where we're constantly juggling increasing levels of difficulty. Business trips, childcare arrangements, work demands, and unexpected crises. Yet, like skilled performers, we can develop systems to manage this complexity with serenity. The Tranquility by Tuesday rules provide this framework, calming chaos and creating space for what matters most. Follow-up research 6 months after the project showed participants maintained elevated time satisfaction scores, up 15 to 18% from initial surveys. The most significant change wasn't just practical benefits, but a fundamental shift in time perception. participants reported more intentionality, adoption of a weekly perspective, and internalization of the rules as mental mantras. These 9 rules, giving yourself a bedtime, planning on Fridays, moving by 3 p.m., establishing 3 times weekly habits, creating backup slots, planning weekly adventures, taking one night for yourself, batching small tasks, and choosing effortful before effortless activities, work together to transform our relationship with time, revealing it as both precious and plentiful. The rules may not work miracles overnight, but they're proven winners that gradually make life feel more manageable for this Tuesday and all the Tuesdays to come. By implementing these strategies, we discover that tranquility isn't about having a perfect life for unlimited time. It's about approaching our limited hours with intention, resilience, and joy.